Today's shiur is Masecht Vavasra, Daf Kuf, Ayin Dalet. We will begin on Daf Kuf, Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, 14 lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah, when we learned the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, at least Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah, was that, as we discussed in the previous shiur, there's a concept of an Arav, a guarantor to a loan. But we learned in the Mishnah and in the Gemara yesterday that even though somebody's an Arav, a guarantor to a loan, we first approach the loiva, and only if he can't pay do we go to the Arav. Says the Gemara, said the Mishnah, but if when the Arav accepted upon himself this commitment, it was stated that the Malva has a right to collect from whomever he prefers. So according to the Pshat in the Mishnah, the Halach is that we could go to the Arif. Amar Rabba Babachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Yishanu. So now the Gemara says, no. Rabbi Babachana says, according to the Tanna Kamma, even if the words Amnash Ephraim Misha Eretzah were used, the loch is La Yifram and Arif. If the loiva has his own assets, we only could go to the loiva, not to the Arif. Ask the Gemara, Vama Diktani Seifa, we continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Rav Shimon Gamaliel Omer, Em Yesh Nechasim La Loiva. Rav Shimon Gamaliel is the opinion who says that if the loiva has his own nechasim, then the halacha is la yifrim and arev. We don't collect from the guarantor. Mechlal, if we now understand and read the Mishnah properly, it seems that it's Rav Shimon Gamaliel who is holding that the arev is not approached if the loiva has his own assets. Mechlal, doesn't that seem to teach us the Tanna Kamma Sava, that is the Tanakhama's opinion, even if the loiva has his own assets, according to the Tanna Kamma, we would be allowed to approach the Arev if, when he accepted upon himself the commitment, he said, the Malva said, Amanasha Ephraim Misha Eretzah, says the Gemara, no. Says Rabbi Bechana, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. Rather, Chsuri Mechzvach Tani. Hamavas Chaveri Aladei Arev. If the halacha, if there's an Arev, so the halacha obviously is, La Yifram an Arev. We don't first go to the Arev, we first go to the Loiva. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, even the Tanna Kamma is saying this now, that if the Malva said, Amnash Ephraim Misha Eretzah, still the halach is Yifrim and Arif. We go to the Arif. When? B'medvar Mamurim, specifically, B'sh'ein Chosim L'loiva, with the loiva, the way most Rishayim explain, doesn't have real estate. So if the loiva doesn't have real estate, and the words Amnash Ephraim Misha Eretzah were used, there the halach is that we could go to the Arif first. Aval, Yesh Nechasim Loiva, if the loiva has his own real estate, even though the words Amnash Ephraim Misha Eretzah were used, the halacha is Lo Yifrim and Arif. You go to the loiva, not to the Arif. Furthermore, there's another category, and we'll summarize the category soon. A kablan, who's a higher level of responsibility, a higher level of commitment, by him the halacha is, even though the loiva has the means to pay off the debt, the halacha is Yifrim and a kablan. The malva could choose to collect from the kablan versus collecting from the loiva. So that's the opinion of Tanna Kamma. So now we've dramatically changed based on what we've learned in today's shiur. How do we understand the opinion of Tanna Kamma? Because when we learn the Mishnah yesterday, it seems that the opinion of the Tanakhama is that if the words Amnash Ephra Mimisha Eretzah were used, you could go to the Arif first according to the Tanakhama. Now our Gemara is saying no. That if the Loiva has his own real estate, even though the words Amnash Ephra Mimisha Eretzah were used, you have to go to the Loiva first. So now, if that's the opinion of the Tanakhama, and that's the opinion of Shimon Gamliel the same, so where's the Machlokes? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Im Yosh Nechos Maloiva Echad Zeh Yifrimahem. Meaning that not only, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, certainly in a case where the words Amnash Ephraim Misha Eretzel were used, is the halacha you have to approach the Loiva first. But even in a situation of a Kablan, that according to the Tanakhama, the Malva could go to either, by a loiva, by Rav Shimon Gamliel will say no. By a kablan too, must the Malva first approach the loiva, and if the loiva doesn't have, then you could go to the, then and only then could you go to the Arif. Amar Rav Babachana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kamakam Shoshana Rav Shimon Gamliel and Shtasainu, wherever we have Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion cited in a Mishnah, the Halacha K'maisai, we follow his opinion. Rishonim qualify this, and they say you can have two situations. You can have a situation where Rav Shimon Gamliel is himself stating his opinion, and you can have a situation where Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is being quoted. This rule that the Gemara is saying now, that wherever Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is quoted, Halacha K'maisai, we follow his opinion, is only when Rav Shimon Gamliel himself is stating his opinion. There we're learning that the halacha always follows his opinion, except chutz arev v'tzidon v'raya chroida. Arev is our Gemara. We're according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, even by a kablan, you have to go to the loiva first. Tanakhama disagrees. The halacha is like the Tanakhama. Tzidon is a Gemara we learned the Masechta Gittin. The Gemara says in Masechta Gittin, where somebody said, I'll give you a get on the condition that you bring my coat, a certain garment, and the garment got destroyed. So the Tanakam, Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is, so it's good enough if the wife gives the husband the value of that garment and they'll be divorced. Tanakam says no, he wanted the garment, and if he can't deliver the garment, if she can't deliver the garment, we have no get. That looks like the Tanakama. Raya Chroina is a Gemara Mitzashem will learn in Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara there discusses where somebody said he's resting his case, he has no more witnesses, and then he wants to have witnesses. When do we and when don't we accept further testimony? Machlokes Tanakama Shimon Gamliel, and we follow the opinion of the Tanakama. So as Tosfos summarizes, there are four categories in Arvis and being a guarantor. One category is the simple category, where somebody agrees to be an Arev, that the halacha is you always go to the loiva first. The next category is if the words Amnash Ephra Mimish Eretzah were used, that there the halacha is that only if the loiva has real estate, you go to the loiva first. If the loiva doesn't have real estate, then you could go to the Arev. That's pshat of most Rishonim. There is a few questions that I ask. What would be the halacha if the words Amnash Ephraim Misha Eretzah were used, but coupled with those words, the word Tchila was used? Amnash Ephraim Misha Eretzah Tchila. Would that change the halacha? Machlokes Rishonim. Another Machlokes Rishonim, where somebody came to the shir, and he knows that the words Amnash Ephraim Misha Eretzah don't really help you that much. So instead of just using those words, he explicitly said, I want to be able to choose who I'm... The Malva says explicitly, I want to be able to choose who I can collect from first, the Orev or the Loiva. Would that change the rule? Or is it the same as saying I'm not Shefer Misheretza? That too is a Machlokes Rishonim. The next category is a Kablan, that the Halach is that there the Malva has the right to choose whom to go first. Interesting Machlokes Rishonim. What would be the halacha? We discussed this just in the previous year, that the loiva has lekuchas. That means when he borrowed the money, he had property, which he afterwards sold. And now when the malva comes to collect, so does he go to the Ariv, to the Kablin, or does he go to the Lekuchas? In a case of an Ariv, we learned in the previous year, you certainly go to the Lekuchas first. What will be the halacha by a Kablin? Do you go to the Kablin first, or do you go to the Lekuchas first? It's also actually Machloikas Apoiskin. And then the fourth case is somebody who's nice of a nice and biad. The Gemara will mention the case soon, but just in order to be organized, and we're summarizing all the halachot, we'll speak about it briefly now. Nice of a nice and biad means not that the loiva borrowed from the malva, and now we have a guarantor, be an arev or a kavlan. It's a different situation. The arev is the one that borrowed the money, and then he took the money and gave it to the loiva. So since the malva gave the money directly to this third individual, not to the loiva, there the halacha is that you go to the nice of a nice and biyad, and not to the loiva. However, say the Rishonim, that even though, as I just said, the halacha is you go to the nice of a nice and biyad, and not to the loiva, if the nice of a nice and biyad doesn't have the means to pay off the loan, and the loiva does, there's a halacha of Shibud the Reb Nosson. Which Shibud the Reb Nosson says that if I owe you money and you owe the next person money, then I should pay you directly. So here too, the nice of a nice and biyad owes the malva the money. But the loiva owes the nice of a nice and biyad the money, and therefore the money goes directly from the loiva to the malva. If the nice of a nice and biyad doesn't have the independent means to pay off his debt. Interesting shaila and rishayim. We learned the halacha is, even though it's improper to do this, but the halacha is that if I owe you money, I could sell the debt. Let's say I sell the debt that I owe you. And then, after it's sold, somebody owes me money and I sell that debt. And then after I sell it to you and get paid for it, I'm moichel the loiva. So we learned that halachically that's permissible. I'm not advocating it, but halachically it's permissible. So what would be the halacha discussed, the Paiskim, the Rishonim discussed this question already. If the nice of a nice and biyad says, I don't have the money, I don't have the ability to pay the malva, and then he's meichel the loiva the loan. What's the question? The question is the nice of a nice and biyad considered the loiva, and it's considered the malva, to the loiva, and the loch is, a malva always has a right to forgive a loan. Or, in this case, since he was just a facilitator of the loan, he really wasn't more than a facilitator, the loch that a malva has a right to be meichel alone wouldn't be in effect. Says the Gemara. Now the Gemara discusses language issues, terminology issues. Amar Rav Huna, if somebody used the words, Hilvei Vani Orev, Hilveyu v'ani pareya, Hilveyu v'ani chayev, Hilveyu v'ani noisin, kulan loshen arvasein. Real situation that he's accepting upon himself to be an orev. If the wording were, ten loy v'ani kablin, ten loy v'ani pareya, ten loy v'ani chayev, ten loy v'ani noisin, clearly all of these languages, terminology, kulan loshen kabbalah sein, a situation of a kablin. However, ask the Gemara. Ba'ilu, Hilveyu v'ni kablin. If the words that were used were Hilveyu v'ni kablin, so we have some sort of a mixture here. The word Hilveyu points towards an arva situation. Kablin means a kablin situation. Or, ten loy v'ni arv. Again, ten loy is a kablonis word. Arv is an arvis word. Mai. What would be the halach in these situations? Amar Yitzchak. So Yitzchak paskins. Loshen Arvis. Arvis, Loshen Kablonis, Kablonis. If he clearly used the word Arev, that means he accepted upon himself to be an Arev. If he clearly used the word Kablin, we say he kept meant to become a Kablin. Reb Chizda, on the other hand, says, Kulan Loshen Kablonis. Reb Chizda's understanding is that under normal circumstances, a person accepts upon himself to be a Kablan. So only Bar Mehevleyu van the Arif, only in a situation where it's very clear that he's not accepting upon himself more than just being an Arif. Why? Because he used all the words that are Arif words, Helveyu van the Arif. So in that case, he's an Arif. Any other circumstance, he's a Kablan. Rav Amar, Rav says just the opposite. Kula and Lashon Arif saying, under normal circumstances, we assume that he's accepted upon himself to be an Arif, Bar Miten Levani Noisin. Unless it's clear, 100%, that he's accepting upon himself to be a Kablan, the fallback is always that he's an Arif. Amalei Ma Bar Meimler Rav Ashi. Hacha Amar Abba. My father taught me the following din. Ten loy vani noisin. This is what I explained earlier. If the Arev told the Malva, ten loy vani noisin, there suggest a Mamer, and the Malva al loiva klum. It's not considered a situation the Malva and the loiva have developed any relationship, and the obligation is only between the Orev and the Malva, and not the Loiva. Says the Gemara, that is incorrect. V'loihi. Leimif the Loiva minei the Malva. This terminology is not enough to take the obligation away from the Loiva to the Malva, unless we have a situation, as I described earlier, Yisav Yistim B'yad. If the money is given from the Malva to the Orev, then we don't consider that there's a relationship between the Malva and the Loiva. As far as the halach is concerned, the relationship is between the malva and the arif. Says the Gemara, "Hahu dayona da achse le malva le nichse de loiva bekame de litva le loiva." The Gemara specifically here, it's going to connect it to the din of arvis, but the Gemara here doesn't exactly really speak about a situation of an arif. The Gemara speaks about a situation which we're very familiar with, as we've learned Baruch Hashem many times. The halacha is that when one takes a loan, and we're going to speak about this Mitzvah Shem in the Mishnah tomorrow, in the last sugis of the Gemara, of the Masecht Mitzvah Shem at great length, all of his assets become mortgaged to his loan. That's the concept of a chrayis. That's the concept of a shibud. So if I take a loan from you, if it's a loan, if it's in a shtar, all of my assets become mortgaged to that loan. And therefore, if I don't have the ability to pay off the obligation, the malva has a right to go to the people who bought those assets from me, because he has a prior lien on those assets. But certainly, we all understand, the halacha is that you first go to the loiva. And if the loiva has the ability to pay off his debt, you take it from the loiva, not from his lekuchas. Says the Gemara, "Hahu dayona, the achse lemalva lenichse the loiva, mekam the litva the loiva." What happened here was, he went to the lekuchas before he went to the loiva. Before examining if the loiva had assets to pay off the debt, he just went right away to the lekuchas. Says the Gemara, "Salk Rav Chanan b'Rei de Rav Yeva." So Rav Chanan ben Rav Yehuda removed it. The Machlokes Rishonim, what does Salke mean? Some Rishonim, actually I think most Rishonim, explained Salke means that he reversed the decision. He said you had no right to go to the Lekuchas before you go to the Loiva. However, there are other Rishonim that say Salke, that he was removed from his position of being a Dayan. And I saw that the Chedush HaRim discusses, he clearly made a mistake. Why, for making that mistake, does he deserve to lose his position? Such a serious punishment. So I saw that the Chiddush HaRim gives two explanations. One explanation, he says, is obviously this Dayan lived in the same town as Rav Chanan. So when he was faced with such a situation, what should he have done? He should have gone to check with Rav Chanan what the right thing to do is. He didn't go check with Rav Chanan. He just acted on his own. And he acted incorrectly. For that, you lose your position. Another explanation that the Chiddush HaRim gives, we'll discuss this in Mitzvah Shem a lot more in Masechta Sanhedrin, is as follows. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin speaks about two types of errors that a dying can make. It could be a tar b'dvar mishnah and a tar b'shikol hadas. Tar b'dvar mishnah means that you pass in the shaila different than what the mishnah says, what the shulchan aruch says. Tar b'shikol hadas is that you made a mistake in your thinking, but it isn't that you went contrary to what it says in the mishnah and says in halacha. The halacha is that a tar b'dvar mishnah, the psak is reversed. A tar b'shikol hadas, you can't reverse the psak. It's the wrong psak, but psak remains psak. So says the Chiddush HaRim. This was considered a case of tar b'shikol hadas. Says the Chiddush HaRim, a very deep word. A mistake that could be corrected is not such a terrible mistake. A mistake that can't be corrected is a terrible mistake. Since this was a mistake in the category of a tos b'shikol hadas, so it can't be corrected. So a dayan who's making mistakes, and those mistakes can't be corrected, we have to remove as a dayan. And he says that that's the same concept that you think about when you ever take somebody away from his position. Is it a mistake that can be corrected, or is it a mistake that can't be corrected? So, again, says the Gemara, Salk Rav Chanan B'Rei Rav Yehima, Amar Rav Man Chochem Lemevet Ki Ha Milsa, who is so smart to act this way? Ilav Rav Chanan B'Rei Rav Yehima, if not Rav Chanan B'Rei Rav Yehima, Ksover, he is of the opinion, and this is how it's connected to our sugya, Nichsei Dabar Inish Inin Ma'arvin Yasei, all of my assets are like an orif, are guarantors to pay off my debt. And just like we're learning in our whole shir today, the Tanan, based on the Mishnah we learned yesterday, that Malvas Chaveh Ayidei Orev, Lo Yifrim an Orev, that you don't collect from the Orev. And what does that mean? V'kaimel, what it means is, Lo Yitva Orev Tchila. You don't first go to the Orev, you first go to the Loiva. Similarly, you don't go first to the Lekuchis, you first go to the Loiva. And therefore this dying that went to the Lekuchis acted improperly. To the Lekuchis first acted improperly. Says the Gemara, and there are many pshatim in the Rishonim in this next Gemara. We're going to try to keep them mesudar, in order not to get confused. Says the Gemara, who arved the yasmei the pari lemalva mekamed leidin leyasmei. The pshat we're going to learn in this Gemara is as follows. There was a person that passed away, and he left nebuch yisoimim who were ketanim. But the father also left, besides his son, the Ketanim, he left Chayvis. He left debts. But there was an Orev on this obligation. And the Orev went and paid off the Malva, the obligation, before he notified the Ketanim what he was doing. That's Posh Pshat in the Gemara. Some Rishonim, however, learn. So now we have a machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that the din that Rav Pop is about to explain really makes no difference if he would have or would have not notified the Ketanim. The explanation Rav Pop is about to give in a moment doesn't make a difference if they were notified. And even if they were notified, the Orev shouldn't have paid. Other Rishonim, however, say that even according to the explanation we're about to learn from Rav Pop, had the children been notified, and then the Orev paid, he could claim reimbursement immediately. It's only because he didn't tell them first. So again, however, the Yasmin, the parallel Mava, this Orev of the debt of the assignment that they inherited from the father, paid off the Malva, the Kamadala Dinali Yasmi, without notifying the assignment first, Amra Papa, so said Rep. So now he wants to be reimbursed from the assignment, says Rep. Papa, Prius Balchoiv is a mitzvah. V'yasvil labanei mevid mitzvah. Your son aren't those that could do mitzvahs. Which means, as long, again, the way we're learning pshat, that as long as these children are ketanim, they're not obligated to pay off the debt. So now you, the Orev, why did you pay off the debt? They had time to pay off until they become bar mitzvah. You paid off now, you're going to have to wait for them becoming bar mitzvah. But when they become bar mitzvah, they'll reimburse you. But there's a time between now and their bar mitzvah, they don't have to pay you. Other Rishonim say that they won't even have to pay you after the bar mitzvah. Again, that's not the pshat we're going to learn. There's a tremendous question that was asked of Chaim Briska. Very cute question. Our Gemara is saying, Prius Balchoiv is a mitzvah. We know that when it comes to mitzvahs, there's a rule, that you don't have to spend more than 20% on a mitzvah. So Chaim Brifka was asked if the entire obligation to pay off a debt is only to pay off, if the entire obligation to pay off a debt is a mitzvah, and halacha is that for mitzvahs you only have to spend 20% of your worth. So let's say I have very big obligations, very significant debts that equal more than 20% of my worth. I shouldn't have to pay. It's only a mitzvah. You don't have to give more than a chaymish. So Chaim Brisker answered. To the question, a very good answer. He says there's two types of ways you spend money. He says, if you buy an esrig, so it's not that you're left without your money, you exchange your money for an esrig. So there the halach is, you don't have to spend more than 20% of what you have to buy an esrig. You don't have to spend more than 20% of your cash or whatever other assets you have to buy an esrig. Here you're not going to remain with the assets you're spending on the mitzvah. You're paying off your debt. There is no 20% rule. That's Reb Chaim's teretz. Reb Moshe said a different teretz. Reb Moshe says there are two types of mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah where you don't have to spend money. Let's speak about the esrig. Let's say somebody gives me a gift, an esrig. He gives it to me with the right kinyan. So I'm a kind of mitzvah. Do I have to spend money on esrig? I don't have to spend money in esrig. If nobody gives me an esrig, nobody buys me an esrig, I'm going to have to buy one for myself. The halach is, you shouldn't spend more than 20%. But where the whole mitzvah is that I have to spend money, which means paying off a debt, that's the only way to accomplish the mitzvah, there's no 20% rule. Says the Gemara, that's why according to Rav Papa, they don't get the Arif doesn't get reimbursed until the Arif doesn't get reimbursed until these Ketanim become Bar Mitzvah. Rav Huna Bar Yeshua says differently. Omar Emetzrari Atusei. We have to be concerned that perhaps the father paid off the loan. And since we have to be concerned that the father paid off the loan, you the Arif, shouldn't have gone and paid it off. Ask the Gemara, my Benayu, what's the practical nafkamina between the two pshatim, the pshat of Rapap and the pshat of Huna Bar Yeshua, ikvinai shekhaiv maida. Well, we know for sure, because the malva, the father, clearly indicated that he never paid off the debt. Inami, that the father was approached before he passed away to pay off the debt, and he didn't want to pay it off, and that's why Shemtu, he was put at the chayrim, and he died in Mesbe Shemtu, so we know for sure he didn't pay it off. So according to the concern of Rapapa, that the ketanim, and ketanim don't have an obligation to pay, so it doesn't change. That issue remains the same. According to the concern of Rav Huna, that perhaps the debt was paid off, so why are you paying it again? That concern doesn't exist. Taisus and the Rishonim debate that the Gemara could have given another teretz. Let's say it was the father died before the debt was due. And we have a klal, the Gemara says it many times, Chazaka ain't odem pareya choy v'itoch manai. People don't pay off their debts before they're obligated to. So according to Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, that the entire concern is that perhaps the debt was paid off. Here we have no reason to be concerned that the debt was paid off. According to Rav Papa, the issue remains. But Taisus is not clear, and Taisus says it's not clear to say that this chazaka, that ain't odem pareya choy v'itoch manai, is such a strong chazaka that we should assume that the debt was not paid off without any question. Hilchasa, says the Gemara, Shalcha Matam, Shemtua Meis B'Shamtei, if the Malva owed the money, and he was put into Chayim for refusing to pay, and then he passed away, the halacha is, the Hilchasa Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, that we assume that it wasn't paid off, and therefore if the Arif pays it off, he's entitled to reimbursement from the Yisoyim Hua Ketanim. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, it says in a Braisa, Arif Shoyer, if an Arif has the Shtar Chayv that was paid, and he now is coming to the Yisoyimim to reimburse him, and a Goyver. He has no right to collect. However, then Kosbos Kabalti Mcha, if in the Shtar there's a wording that the Malva writes, his Kabalti Mcha, that I got paid from the Arif, the Halacha is Goyver. Says the Gemara. Why? Didn't we just finish learning that the Arif has no right to collect from the assignment? So says the Gemara. Bishlam alav huna b'reid v'shua. According to huna b'reid v'shua, we have a way of understanding this price. B'shkach flo, shchayiv moida. If the malva was moida that he didn't pay off the loan, then they have a right to go to the assignment. El rapapa, kasha. According to rapapa, what's the difference? Priest b'chayiv mitzvah, and assignment are not obligated to do the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, shani hasa. We can't bring a right from that situation, because since the hachi kara for kasla is kabalti, since the words his kabalti were put into the shtar, it turns, just the way Rabbi Shbam explains, it turns the obligation from the yisoimim to the orev to a much more serious level of obligation, that even Rapapa, who is of the opinion that an orev has the right to claim from the yisoimim to be reimbursed, when it's this level of obligation, he does have a right. Says the Gemara, Hahu arved oiv kachavim. There was a situation that somebody was an orev for a loan to a guy. The paralyzed kachavim, that paid off the guy. In other words, a guy had lent money to a Jew who passed away, and now the orev paid off the guy. Again, before the Arev approached the assignment, what to do? Amalei Ramot Chel Rav Ashi, Hachi Amar Avim Vagrunim Mishmed Rava, Afila Mand Amar Lashina Letzrari, even according to Rav Huna B'Rav Yeshua that said that we need to be concerned that perhaps the Loiva paid off the debt, and therefore the Arev shouldn't have been so quick to pay off the debt before verifying was it or was it paid off already? Hanimil Yisrael. Aval Oiv Kachavim by a guy, if the guy is the Malva, Kivin the boss Arva Ozel, since by the Goyim we don't have this distinction of going to the Loiva or going to the Arev, since by Goyim we don't have this distinction of going to the Arev or to the Jew, no Loiva, will pay off a guy who's the Malva. Because he knows that the guy may approach the Arev. And therefore the Arev could be confident that the Loiva never paid off the Malva of the guy. And according to Avon Be'ed of Yeshua, the entire reason that the Arev has to approach the assignment is to verify was that Malva paid off or not. Here there's no need for verification. We could be certain that he wasn't paid off. Again, let's read the words in the Gemara. Hanimil Yisrael, where is there concern that perhaps the Malva was or wasn't paid off? That's in a situation where the Malva is Yisrael. Aval Ev Kachavim, where the Malva is a Goy, Kivin, the Brasa Arva Ozel, since Goyim typically make it claim to the Arif, no Jewish Loiva will pay off the Goyish Malva, therefore Lechshin Al-Tzrari, and the Arav did not have to check with the assignment. Amalei, so he said to him, on the contrary, Adrabba, Afila Mandam Lechshin Al-Tzrari, even according to the Mandam that normally is not concerned that a loiva will have paid off the loan, Hanimil Yisrael, Av Oiv Kachavim, Kim to the Ninibas Arva Azli, the Goyim don't, as I said, differentiate between the Ariv and the Loiva. So which person would ever agree to be an Ariv to a loan where the guy is the Malv and the Jew is the Loiva? Where I know that the chances of me being approached as the Ariv are very strong. Because normally when is the Ariv approached? Only when the Loiva doesn't have money. But that's not when the guy is the Malva. When the guy is the Malva, he can easily be approached even if the Loiva is a very wealthy man. So why would I ever agree to be an Arif? It must be Elav Dapsit Sarmi Kara Levim Kabale. It must be because I know that the loan was paid off. Or the money is there to be paid off. So therefore, if the Arif went, says the Gemara now, and paid off this loan, why? You should have assumed that the Loiva, the Jew, paid it off. Otherwise you would have never agreed to be an Arif. And therefore if you paid without checking with the assignment, you will be held responsible. Says the Gemara, interesting story. We learned at the end of the Mishnah that if somebody
is an Arif for a woman in a ksuba, and then the couple gets divorced, and the husband has no money. So we have to be concerned, as we learned in the Mishnah in the previous year, that this husband and wife have a conspiracy going between them, that they want to be able just to get the money for the ksuba, and then they get remarried. So what did the Mishnah say should be done? We learned in the Mishnah what should be done under those circumstances is that he should make a neder to her, that he should make a neder to her, that he will not have any hanah from her. Like that, we know that this is not a situation of a fraud. Says the Gemara, Moshe Ba'atzri, first I actually point out that the name Moshe is a name that's rarely found in Gemara. They didn't use that name that commonly then. Moshe Ba'atzri, Arba de Ksubas de Kalosa Hava. He was the Arav and the Ksuba of his daughter-in-law. Rav Huna Berei, Rav Huna, who was Moshe Ba'atzri's son, Tzuvim de Rabbanon Hava, was a big Talmud Chochem, but the Chikalei Milsa. And he and his wife lived in poverty. And his father, Moshe Ba'atzri, even though he had such a great son, didn't support him. Amar Abaya, Leko de Nezbe Eitzel Rav Huna. Maybe that we could give Rav Huna some sort of advice how he could get some money. What's the advice we could give him? The Negar Shel Advisa, he should divorce his wife. The Tez of a Tigbe Ksuba Bavua, he should divorce his wife. Should be entitled to a Ksuba. He's obviously a person who has no money. That's the whole problem here. So now the Ksuba is going to have to be paid off. Now the Ksuba is going to have to be paid off. The Tez of a Tigbe Ksuba Bavua, he'll collect the Ksuba from his father, Moshe Ba'atzri. So now they'll have money. For Hot and Nahadra. And that'll get remarried, and at least they have some money, the ksuba payment. Amalei Rebbe. So Rebbe said, what kind of advice is that? For Yedren Anotanan. Don't we just quote the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that under such circumstances, that if the couple is collecting the ksuba from an Arif, the husband has to be Madar Anoha. So what kind of Eitzer is this? Amalei Abaya. Ota called Megarish, the Beidina Megarish. Yes. If if the get will take place in a Bezdin, so then the Bezdin verifies what's going on. But a Bezdin doesn't, you don't need necessarily a Bezdin for a get. So they'll get divorced without a Bezdin, and then it'll be too late. So a number of points to be made. Number one, even though the Gemara says you don't need a Bezdin to get divorced, the Rishonim say it doesn't mean you don't need a Bezdin. You don't need a Bezdin Mumchim. You need three individuals, but you don't need a Bezdin Mumcha who don't necessarily know to investigate. But then ask the Mefarshim, fine, you don't need a Bezdin. And they'll get divorced, no, and the Bezdin never checked. But now let's think about it. When they'll come to claim, when the woman will come, when the wife of Rav Huna, Moshe Ba'atzri's son, Moshe Ba'atzri's daughter-in-law and son, will come to ask for the get, for the ksuba payment, the halacha is that he has to make a neder. So what are you accomplishing? So I saw two answers to that question. One answer to the question is, we discussed it briefly in our previous year, that when is the neder made? The neder is made at the time of the get. And if Bezdin doesn't know at the time of the get to require that neder, they've lost that opportunity. So go to a Bezdin that doesn't know to make that obligation, and now the father, who's the Arev, who's the guarantor, will have to pay, and he doesn't have the option of requesting a neder. Another pshat that I saw is as follows. It's still a father. So what's the father going to be concerned? That I'm going to pay, and they're really perpetrating a fraud to get the money from me? It's still their son. His son and daughter-in-law. And therefore, he preferred to have his son get remarried, even though it cost him the ksuba, than to have his son and daughter-in-law divorced. And therefore, he won't request the nether, and therefore, they'll get the ksuba. Amalei, Abaya, L'Sofa Gleib Milsa. However, the entire option didn't work. Because L'Sofa Gleib Milsa, the Kohen Hua. They were Kahanim. So he didn't have the option of divorcing his wife, collecting the ksuba, and then taking her back. Because a Kohen is not to marry a Amona. Amar Abaya, said Abaya, Hanid Amri Inchi, Basa Anya Azla Niyosa. Poor people get poorer. That's exactly what happened here. Moshe Ba'atzri, Rav Huna, Moshe Ba'atzri's son was a poor individual, and he had the bad mazel, he had the bad fortune of being a Kayan, and this won't work for him. I saw this statement that the Gemara makes, Basabe and Nia Azl Anyanasa, is a common statement the Gemara makes it. It's actually Gemara Masechet Baba Kamma. The Gemara Masechet Baba Kamma says the following: how do we know that indeed Basa Anya Azla Niyusa? The Gemara says as follows: when they used to bring the Bikurim to Yerushalayim, so the wealthy people would bring it in gold and silver baskets, the poor people would bring it in wicker baskets. The poor people, the Kohanim would keep the baskets. The wealthy people, they would take the fruit and give back the baskets. The Gemara says the wealthy people get back the baskets, and the poor people lose the baskets. So I saw the Mefarshim asked, why taka? Why taka? Where's the justice here? It's so beautiful pshat. The poor people, we take away the wicker baskets. We're keeping the wicker baskets, and we want you next year to come with different baskets, with silver and gold baskets. The wealthy people, we give them back the baskets. And we say, just like this year you were able to come with silver and gold baskets, we want to see you next year again with silver and gold baskets. There's a beautiful thought. If you take the word ani, and you look at the word ani, the letters after the word ani are kesef. It's a galgal achoyz of oilam. You start off as an ani, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps, and you could become kesef. You could become wealthy. Another pshat that I saw, the pasuk says, tzavis arvis is bonov. Rashi says, ain't tzav el washin zirus. V'yoyzit tzorach hakosav lazaris b'mokum shiyesh chsaron kis. Say the mefarshim, beautiful pshat. Wealthy people, that people give kovid to wealthy people is very common. But the Torah has to warn us. But makom sheyesh chsaron kis, you have a person who has chsaron kis that doesn't have any money in his pocket, that you have to also give him respect. Basa aniyosa azla aniyosa. Be careful not to treat a poor person poorly. Says the Gemara further. Ask the Gemara. Umiyam Rabbi Hachi. Did Abaye give this advice? Vam Abaye is Rosh Orim. Who's considered Rosh Orim? Zem Eitz Limchum and the Chosuk Rishim and Gamaliel, which we learned the Gemara earlier in Amasecht, which speaks about the following circumstance. If somebody says that this person should yarshim me, but after that Yorish dies, not his Yorishim should yarshim my assets, but someone else. So the halach is that if the first person goes and sells off those assets, and there's nothing left for the next person. But the Gemara says, if you give somebody advice to do such a thing, even though halachically, technically, you're correct, you did something that's rishis. So here, how could somebody give an etzah to Rav Huna, Moshe Ba'atzri's son, to do this whole shtick? Isn't it improper? Answers the Gemara, B'noi Shani Mitzur B'mani Shani. Here it was a son who was a Talmud Chacham. The Rishonim debate, do you need to have both conditions? That he's a son of Talmud Chacham, one condition alone is enough that it should be different. Ask the Gemara. Va'arfu, Moshe Ba'atzri was only an arf to this ksuba. The Kaimelon, the halach is arf to ksuba le'mishtabed. If somebody's an arf to ksuba, he really isn't obligated. Answers the Gemara. It wasn't just a regular arf, it was an arf kablan. It was a kablan, which we learned at the beginning of our shir, is a higher level of obligation. Says the Gemara. Hanich l'man da'amar, kablan to ksuba. If somebody's a kavlan by ksuba, afgav the lesle nichsei lebal, even if the chassan has no assets at the time of the money of the marriage, but if you're a kavlan mishtabid, then you become obligated shaper. So we can understand this entire incident. El leman da omer, es le mishtabid. If the chassan has money, then the orif kavlan becomes obligated. E lesle, but if he doesn't have any money, le mishtabid. So what's the difference that Moshe Ba'atzri was an orif kavlan? But the Chos and Rav Huna had no money. Mayik Lameima, says the Mei Baihu, Meheva Havalev Ishtatif. When they got married, Rav Huna had money. It's just Rav Huna, his son, never lost his money. Vibai Seima, even if we'll say that that there's a difference, an Orav of a Ksuv is never obligated, an Orav Kablin, it makes a difference if the Chos has money or doesn't have money. Vibai Seima, Abel Gababurei, a father-son relationship is very different. Here he always shibud mishabed nafshei, even if the chassan, the son, has no money.
Kivega interestingly points out that it's only a father, not a mother. Ditma, Orav de Ksuba, if somebody just is an Orav by Ksuba, Lo Mishtabit, Dovera Kol Mishtabit, that's not really considered a Shibud. The other side, Kablan de Baal Choyv, in a regular loan situation, where except to be a Kablan, Dovera Kol Mishtabit, that's considered a full-fledged obligation. However, Kablan de Ksuba, where a Kablan, but it's an Ksuba situation, or I accept to be an Orev in a Baal Choyv situation, Pligi. Here we have a Machloikas. Masov, one opinion is, Yisle Nechsel Loiva. Only if the Loiva at the time of the loan had the ability to pay off, Mishtabid, is the Orev committed. Yisle Loi Mishtabid. Masov Bein Yisle Bein Lesle Mishtabid. For Hilchasa, the Halacha is, Orev, in a regular situation of an Orev, it makes no difference. Bein Islay, Bein Leslay, if the Loiva does or doesn't have the ability to pay off, the Orev is Mishtabid, the Orev becomes obligated, Bar Ma'orev de Ksuba, except in the situation of Orev Ksuba. The Afagav, the Islay Labal, even if the husband, the Chosin, has money, La Mishtabid, if he's just an Orev, he doesn't become obligated. Mai Tama, Nitzu the Ovid, he's just trying to help them get married, because it's a mitzvah to get married. V'lami the chasra, as we learn many times, women are anxious to be married. Tav l'meisav tam du, m'lameisav amala. Therefore, if you only accepted to be an orav by ksuba, not a kablin, it's not considered a real commitment that you have to honor.